Doctor on AM 950 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's the Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
Good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston, or 100.3 FM, or any one of your favorite apps. You can just go tell Alexa right now, Alexa, play WROL radio, and she will. I hope a whole bunch of Alexas just turned on. Well, if you hear some noise in the background, you're wondering where we are. We're at Captain Parker's Pub down in Yarmouth, and this is the big Cape Cod St. Patrick's Day Parade. So what's the Car Doctor doing at the St. Patrick's Day Parade? I decided to come here and hang out because Captain Parker's is a great place to be. It's a lot of fun. The restaurant opened at 8 o'clock. The bar is already packed with people. The tables all around are taken up. We expect to see Matt O'Donnell in a little bit and Johnny Costello right after that. So these guys are going to be here all day having a great time. And it should be a really fun time. But it still is the Car Doctor program. So you can still join us here by giving us a call at 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. And we can still chat about your car problems, whatever's on your mind. We can do it right here from Captain Parker's. And at some point, too, I did it for a minute or two earlier this morning. We did a little Facebook Live and had my wife scowling at the bar at me. Oh, she smiled once. And she's all in her festive Irish attire as well. And so, you know, an Italian wearing green Irish stuff. So that's okay. She has her Kiss Me, I'm Irish. I don't know what that is. Shamrocks on her head. So be prepared for that. So we're gonna have a good time here today. Gonna be here for 90 minutes. Like I said, we'll be seeing Matt and Johnny here in a bit. And of course, next weekend, Saturday before St. Patrick's Day, I don't know. I heard there's something like 17 remotes going on or something. So it should be incredibly busy next Saturday. I think I'm just sitting in the studio where it's going to be quiet next Saturday. And then, of course, the St. Patrick's Day Parade in South Boston, where WROL has a big trailer, 60-foot-long trailer is what I understand, actual float. You know, it started off as a trailer and turned into a float. And that'll be going on there. And, of course, I was talking to some friends, and the Teamsters trailer is going to be there, too. So friend of mine is getting the Teamsters trailer ready. So the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Boston is always a good time. But the one down here is a really good time. The parade starts around 11. But like I said, the cones are already out. There's a big festival right across the street from Captain Parker's. If you don't know where Captain Parker's is, it is right on Route 28 in Yarmouth. And if you've never been here, you need to come here because it's a great place. It's usually really busy in the summertime. But you wait a little bit, you get in, you have a good meal. It's not real expensive. It looks like the Bloody Marys and the coffee and tea are going over pretty well this morning. It should be a great time. Our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through. Phone lines are open if you want to join us and talk about your car problems, whatever's on your mind. Maybe your car's been recalled. I just got a recall notice in the mail for my car for a software upgrade. I'll have to see about getting that down. Now we're two for two. Both of our cars have been recalled, both for software upgrades. So my car, I think it's a knock sensor upgrade, some sort of software fix for that. And in the Volkswagen, I'm not sure what it is. But it is some sort of software update. I almost hate to do it because the Volkswagen gets almost 40 miles per gallon according to the digital readout if you drive it really careful. I'm afraid that they're going to tinker with it and maybe not make it quite so good. Well, we hear about all kinds of recalls, but here's one that I hadn't heard about before. The Barbie camper is being recalled. So
what?
If you want a Barbie camper, yep,
Dennis, the Barbie camper.
The Barbie camper, apparently it has an unintended acceleration issue. Back in the 2010, 2011, Toyota was all over the news for unintended acceleration. But now, The Barbie wheel, the Power Wheels Barbie camper is being recalled. The Consumer Protection Safety Commission has issued a recall for about 44,000 of these ride-on Barbie camper vehicles because they can continue to run after the foot pedal is released. So you step on the accelerator and you take your foot off and it keeps on going. If you have a Barbie camper, Dennis, you don't have a Barbie camper, do you?
No, not at this time. Sorry to.
Okay. But if you have one, Fisher-Price will fix it for free. It's a hot pink mini camper. It's battery operated. It has a play kitchen, grill, and campfire. The vehicles were manufactured in Mexico and sold at Walmart or Walmart online. They were $400 when these things came out. $400 for a Barbie camper. So unattended acceleration in a Barbie camper. So if you're responsible for one of those, well, you might want to get it. Might want to get it looked at, I guess. So our friends over at iccars.com, Julie sent me a list of vehicles that will reach over 200,000 miles or more. And the number one vehicle on that list is the Toyota Sequoia. Highest percentage of any vehicle on the road that will reach 200,000 miles. Secondly, it's Chevy Suburban, followed by the Ford Expedition, followed by the GMC Yukon, followed by the Toyota 4Runner, Chevrolet Tahoe, Toyota Highlander Hybrid, Honda Ridgeline, Yukon, Tacoma, Tundra. They said the average vehicle has about only less than 1% of his vehicles reach the 200,000 mile mark. But some vehicles do it a little bit better. And 200,000 miles today, depending where the car is driven, isn't really a ton of miles. I mean, it is. But, my little trip into Florida, one of the things I realized when I went down there is every car down there seems to have 200,000 miles on it. And because they're easy to drive. Mr. Manning, can we talk to you? Can we chat with you? You look like you got a bag of money in your hand, though.
No worries.
I hope I have a bag of money at the end of the day.
There you go. Well, give us a little Captain Parker's history.
Oh, well, hello, folks. We're having a great day down here on sunny Cape Cod. I've been here at Captain Parker's since 1981.
So the beginning of time, almost.
Almost. It'll be 38 years this year. And it's been a real adventure. I never realized... that I'd be here this long, and I was a Boston school teacher, and I wanted to open up a little spot down here just to keep it seasonal.
Yeah.
And then in 1981, there's 2.5, and then there was a huge layoff in the Boston schools. So I opened up in July, and in August I got a layoff notice. So I said, oh dear, what am I going to do now? And the place didn't even have heat, but we went down to town hall, got a year-round license, and I've been here ever since. So.
And you know, the place keeps expanding. I mean, it's still sort of the same footprint, but now you have the whole outside area, the outside patio, and that's all heated out. So you use that really on, 9 or 10 months out of the year?
Well, not really. Not it's really. All depends on Mother Nature. Today we're very lucky. It's nice and warm, and people will be out there watching the parade go by, but... It's only a warm weather.
Yeah.
We do have, accessory heaters and whatnot, but I don't think too many will be sitting up there tonight.
Not tonight. And how long have you been involved with the parade?
Well, we had the first meeting right there, the first organizational meeting in the very beginning.
Yeah.
There was a group of about eight people, and it was the police chief of Dennis and Terry Klein and... Jack Hines from the Irish Village
yep.
back then, and a really energetic group, and they came, got it off the ground. It was unbelievable. The first year was fantastic. The first year the parade was down in Dennis.
Yep.
In the beginning, we were going to alternate it from Dennis to Yarmouth, but now it's found a home in Yarmouth, so we love it here.
Yeah, and what's going on across the street?
Oh, that's great. This is the second year for them. It's an Irish music festival, and this year it's only going to be on the Saturday,
yep.
but it's going to go into through the evening till about 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock tonight. But they have great groups, and it's all in one big tent, and hopefully the heaters will work. And there's beer and wine for sale, and all kinds of merchants are over there selling their Irish wares.
Yep.
And Captain Parker's will be over there selling some chowder in the afternoon anyways. And it's a real fun thing. Again, the quality of the music is terrific.
Yeah. It really is. I know everybody that goes to it had a really good time last year. Mm-hmm. And the you mentioned Captain Parker's chowder, and our buddy Billy Bailey, who's on later this afternoon, he just loves saying Captain Parker's chowder. He, you know, he's a South Boston guy, so he left all the R's off. So you know when he says it, but. You know, a bunch of years ago, you decided to put it in stores and supermarkets, and other restaurants have it now,
too. Yeah, about 7 years ago, we decided to bring it to the market. We have a co-packer that makes it down in Warren, Rhode Island. And slowly but surely, we brought it to the marketplace, and we were very fortunate to get it into Stop and Shop in Shaw's in the beginning. And then a lot of smaller markets, and I thought at first it would be really good for small restaurants and delis and the like, but we found our niche in the supermarkets, and we're throughout New England, Big Y, Market Basket, Roach Brothers, and many, many small other outlets. Yeah.
Now does it say right on the package, don't do anything to this. Just put it in the water, heat it up, and don't go doctoring it up.
Well, again, once you take it home, it's yours. But the best thing is just boil up a saucepan of water, get it raw to a rolling boil, pop the pouch in there, and leave it in there for about 15 minutes or so, and then take a scissors and cut the plastic top, pour it into your mug, and it's great.
And take full credit for making it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's my wife does. She's sitting right over there, and you know when she has Captain Parker's chowder, she doesn't tell anybody. She says, "I made this myself. In fact, I went out and got the clams."
Absolutely, they're all free range clams.
That's
too.
That's right.
Very organic.
Yeah. But this should be a great time today, and a little unusual. Open at 8:00 in the morning.
Well, we have serving breakfast here this morning just for the early birds, and it's a great vantage point to watch the parade and have your beverage of choice. A lot of people are having their coffee and tea at the moment, but I see a few Bloody Marys floating around.
There's a couple Bloody Marys kicking around. Yeah, there absolutely is. And the skillet breakfast seems to be going over pretty big, too. So
thank goodness. We have a great crew in the kitchen, and we don't do breakfast on a regular basis, but it's a special day, and it's very good. Crispy bacon and...
Just the way it's supposed to be. And, you know, looking at your crew, a lot of your people have been here a long time.
Yes, just the bartenders alone, Roger Gardner there, he's the bar manager, he's been with me 30 years. Chris, the other bartender, he's been with me like 25 years.
Yeah.
The rookie is Whitney, and she's been with me, I think, 14 years. She's the rookie.
that's always a good sign when you see people that, you know, you can go in and you recognize them. I think that's what makes it special. And can you tell me a little history about all the police badges and insignias?
We have over 6,000 of them now. If the more you look around the restaurant, the more you see. But it like everything, it just started with one, first one. It's a long story about it, but it was friends of mine from Boston. You know, I'm originally from Dorchester, so they came down and visited me, and we cut a patch off of one of the fellas' sleeve, and we put it up, and the next day another patch went up, and it's just a nice tradition.
And looking, they're all over the United States and kind of all over the world.
Yes, we have Australia and Europe and South America. But mostly local, you know, Needham, Natick.
No, just looking around, Albany, Portland, like you said, Sydney, Australia, not exactly local, but Rockland up near me, and it's great to see it all, and especially this year with Sergeant Gannon's dog kind of leading the parade.
He was a wonderful fella. He was a customer here.
Yep.
We miss him dearly. He was just a true gentleman. And it's a great tribute to the first responders, fire and police. But we're really focusing on the canine units, and Nero, his Yeah. His dog is going to be in the parade, yeah, and hopefully, and yes, yeah, it's a great tribute.
It is, and yeah. I think, you know, I think people, you know, I'm willing to bet as much as people enjoy the parade, when they see that, you know, little different thoughts going to go through their mind. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be an emotional moment when Nero goes by.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a fun day.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're here to, you know, remember the past, but look forward to the future. And today's a real harbinger of spring. You know, it's the weather's going to get better, and the sun will be out a lot longer now. And
yeah, people will be playing golf on Monday.
I hope so. I have to practice my putting, man.
There you go. Hey, Jerry, thanks for taking a little time. And you know, you don't usually come on an automotive radio show, but you know this.
My father was a mechanic. He was an automobile mechanic, a truck mechanic. You folks do a great job. Yeah. We love you coming down here.
No, the Irish boys will be here soon, and they'll take over, but it is a good time, and it's always nice to see all the energy in here. And I don't care if it's today or it's any summer night. You managed to make the good combination of good food, good drinks, and reasonable prices.
Well, we try, and again, we're open year round. We're not open on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Those are the only 2 days we're closed. So, if you're on the Cape, stop by.
It's easy for people. Hey, look, and there's Matt O'Donnell now. Look at that. Hey,
Jerry. How are you? Good to see you.
Welcome. Another year.
Yes, indeed.
You're getting younger looking.
Well, that's a lie, but still, it's great to be here.
All right. We were just chit-chatting a little bit.
Yeah. Sounds great coming in.
No, it sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah, this is the place to be. Already packed down here.
Yeah, it is. It was packed at 5:05. You know,
I believe it.
People were out in the parking lot waiting to come in because they know this is the best place to watch the parade.
Well, I was just talking to some people out in the parking lot, and they come every year, they said, and they just love Captain Parker's because you have the proximity to the parade that comes right out in front.
Yep.
And, of course, the festival, as you mentioned, right across the street. And the food here, Jerry, you can't beat it.
I hope we put a good show on today. I'm sure we will,
All right. Hey, thank you. Thank you, Jerry. We'll talk to you maybe a little bit later.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Jerry, it's great to see you.
Yeah, so this will be a great time here for today and looking at what's going on it'll be good. Our phone number 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through and talk to us about your car and your car problems. Hey, Dennis, why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back, who knows? Maybe we'll talk to some people about their car problem. My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor program. You're listening on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. We're live from Captain Parker's pub in South Yarmouth, right on Route 28. It is crowded in here. It's busy in here. It's Matt O'Donnell just came in. He's getting all ready to do what he needs to do. It's a good time in here today. And of course, we just talked to the boss. We just talked to Jerry Manning about what's going on and how long he's been involved down here, and give us a little Captain Parker story about how he started this place. And this place, we have a older friend, George, who whenever he comes to the Cape, he's got to come to Captain Parker's for a burger. He loves their burgers here. And always makes a point. He used to live down here and lives most of the time in Florida now. But when he comes back for the summertime, this has to be one of his stops because he just enjoys it here. And he knows what he's going to get. He's going to get good food all the time. Well, if you were a fan of the Cadillac CT6 or the Chevy Impala, well, they both got a little bit of a reprieve A pair of large General Motors sedans expected to bite the dust this summer will live on, at least for a while. The Cadillac CT6 and the Chevy Impala will continue in production until January 2020 at GM's Detroit assembly plant in Michigan. GM has scheduled the end output of these cars in June as part of a restructuring plan, but announced in November will realign North American manufacturing amid consumer shift to light trucks and cars. The change in plans, according to GM, was made to match supply and demand and extend the availability of advanced technology features on the CT6, such as the Blackwing twin-turbo V8 and Super Cruise driver assistance system. The extension does not change the future plans. They plan to eventually end production. GM discontinued output of the Buick LaCrosse sedan, Chevrolet Volt plug-in hybrid, and at the Detroit plant several weeks ahead of schedule. It's kind of interesting that there is some talk about a certain generation is actually he's coming. I think. No, I'm not. I only look like one of those guys. Hang on a minute. Let's turn the microphone on.
So you were looking for Bobby Brooks.
Or the Rooster, Johnny Costello.
Johnny Costello will be here.
Or you.
Or John Paul. I'm only the car
John
guy.
Paul.
How are
Jim.
You? You know, good. Matt O'Donnell's right behind you.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
so,
I know
yeah.
Matt O'Donnell.
Yeah, everybody knows Matt
he
O'Donnell.
He looks mad to see me.
Do you owe him money?
I do not.
Okay,
no.
Everything's probably good then, you know.
Yeah. Every time I call to make a request, I call him Matt O'Connell.
Oh, okay.
So he's probably not gonna like
yeah,
that
well. No, but Johnny will be here. I think, I don't know if Bill Bailey's coming or not.
Yeah, I wasn't sure because you kind of look like Bobby Brooks. I thought you were.
Yeah, well Bobby Brooks is about 10 years younger than me, so I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Oh, yeah.
So.
You're a fine, handsome lad, you are.
And then, of course, Paul Sullivan will be in the studio back at the station. So
excellent.
Yeah, so.
Am I on the air?
You are.
Oh, that's
right
exciting.
Now, right
hello.
Now.
Happy early St. Patrick's Day to everybody.
There you go. All right. Well,
Chucky Allah.
Yeah, tell us who you are.
Jim. Jim and Amy from Tingsboro.
All right, Jim. Thanks for thanks for stopping by. All right. So I look like Bobby Brooks. I guess that's a compliment, you know, at least to Bobby, you know. We'll wait and see what he has to say about it all.
I can't wait for him to hear what he has to say about that one. If he's.
I know. Either Bobby looks 10 years older or, you know, I don't know. But like I was saying earlier I was talking to some people from Mazda, and they kind of put you know, what's going on with people that own cars. And they said, you know, when people grew up with station wagons, the last thing their kids wanted was a station wagon, and they decided minivans were a good idea. When minivans got popular, the next generation, the last thing they wanted was a minivan. They wanted an SUV. Now that SUVs are popular, what's coming back? According to Mazda, sedans might be coming back. So just when you think everything's... you know, everything that's old is new again, sort of thing. Our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Give us a call and, you know, let us know what's going on with your car, maybe what kind of car you want to own in the future. Maybe you want to own that new Bugatti. It was on the market for $14 million, and then it went up to, it sold for $18 million, an $18 million car. It had a $30,000 sound system in it, and... it had it has special tires that when you blow a tire, you actually have to take the tire off, take the tire and wheel off, send it back to Italy, I guess. And the tires are actually glued and screwed onto the rims because it's something like 1,500 horsepower. And that's the only way they can keep the tires on the wheels, which is pretty amazing. So what are we having to eat here today? Just got a menu. A grilled Reuben. Sounds pretty good. Shepherd's pie, always a good choice. Hot corned beef sandwich, another good choice. Irish stew, tender lamb with fresh vegetables and a minted lamb gravy served with warm rolls. Roast leg of lamb, corned beef and cabbage. Of course, you got to have corned beef and cabbage. And again, sirloin and Guinness pot pie, tender sirloin, carrot, celery, and turnip and Guinness gravy in a casserole dish topped with piped mashed potatoes. Always a good choice. Always a good choice. Food's always great here. And special food for today at Captain Parker's. And again, the place is just, the bar is starting to turn into standing room only here. And pretty amazing considering it's just 9 o'clock.
So you want, you know, there's different cars, and apparently somebody got into looking at Elon Musk's house, which looks very pleasant, by the way. Some of us recall the Lido Lounge. That's the den in Lee Iacocca's Bloomfield Hills house, Bob Lutz's glamorous deck and garage in Michigan, where he also keeps his jet, by the way. And it's a world, I think it's a Korean or early 60s vintage. It was actually a Chinese jet that he painted to look like an American jet so he wouldn't get shot down. But, well, Elon Musk's house in Bel Air, there's a bunch of photos somebody gathered by a real estate agent and posted on a luxury home site. American Luxury shows how the auto industry has set up his house. So you might want to take a look at it. According to the site, the relatively modest-sized home by billionaire standards is one of several in the L.A. area owned by Tesla founder. Priced at $4.5 million, Musk has owned this for about 5 years, purchased it for $3.7 million, according to public records. The American Luxury description, from an appealing backyard perspective, the residence is glassy and warm, and an interior bears out the impression stacked stone, plank, oak, custom carpentry, and offer an abundance of warmth and act as a ballast for strong lines and open shared living room, extremely inviting as a result. So if you want to own a car with a little, a house with a little bit of history from a guy who builds cars with a lot of history, I guess you can go out and buy Elon Musk's house. Hyundai on Monday unveiled a smartphone-based digital key that's capable of functions such as unlocking, locking the doors, starting the car, and more. The automaker said it may begin introducing its near-field communications on cars as soon as this year. The digital key tech is part of Hyundai's move toward car sharing, which it expects will take off in the future. I still don't think it will. The digital key can be shared with four people once the owner authorizes it. If the owner loans their car out as part of a car sharing, they can also block certain features. Even further, the owner can set alerts if the car exits certain areas or travels above certain speed limits. The digital key can also work to simply unlock the trunk for a delivery person and place a package inside. This is all works with your smartphone. For each authorized user, the digital key remembers the settings. For instance, when the driver approaches the car, the digital key in your phone communicates via near-field communication technology to identify the user, then mirrors seats, audio, climate controller configured to the driver's preference. All the driver needs to do is have their phone a few inches from the door handle to unlock or lock the car, then place the phone on the wireless charging pad to start the vehicle. Remote functions include the ability to lock and unlock the car from afar, start the vehicle, sound the alarm. Hyundai said it also will still provide traditional key or card-like key, for instance, when sharing the digital key isn't ideal, for instance, when it comes time to service the car. Well, it's sort of an interesting, I never thought about that, but, you know, with all of the porch pirate sort of things, you know, people stealing your Amazon stuff, maybe that's what you do. You give the Amazon delivery guy the code on his phone so he comes in and he's able to pop the trunk open, and then what happens? You put your package in there, it's closed, it's nice, secure, and nobody can get to it. Dennis, I was near your house, I guess, in Quincy, when I saw the Amazon storage lockers near the AAA office.
Yeah, those things are really cool.
Yeah, so instead of having your valuables delivered to your house and worry about it getting somebody walking away with it, you have a code. That have you tried it?
Have I tried it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to get, when I was getting my books delivered for school, I would put them in there so that I would know where they are and I wouldn't have to worry about them getting wet if the weather
now
was...
Now, do they give you a separate code to be able to...
Yeah, so what happens is you get a notification that it's been delivered, and there's a barcode that you can scan.
Yep.
And it pops open the one that that they put it in, and you get it and take it out. You have, I think, 72 hours to pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really... Yeah, you're not going to get, like, big, huge packages in there. There's some bigger lockers, but they're not massive or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a... It looked like you could put, you know, it looked like you could put a pretty good-sized box in there. It looked,
It looked pretty interesting when I saw it, and I had, you know, I hadn't thought about it, but it actually makes sense, if especially if you maybe live in an apartment or someplace where you have to, where you're worrying about what's going to happen. So, yeah, yep. Pretty neat idea.
Yep, and it gives you, when you do order on Amazon, it does give you the option, do you want to deliver at home, or there's these delivery lockers that are located at XYZ place. And
yeah, pretty good idea. Pretty good idea. Pretty clever, those Amazon people. You know, I actually ordered from Amazon twice this week, which is two times more than I have in the last year. But it worked out good. I needed a battery for my Fios phone because the battery went dead, and quietly in the middle of the night you'd hear it beep a little alarm. That was annoying.
Yeah.
And then we'll be springing ahead, moving our clocks ahead, and speaking of batteries that tend to go dead in the middle of the night, change the battery in your smoke detector.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you know if you don't, in like a week and a half at 2 o'clock in the morning, things are going to start beeping at you. So do it now.
Yep.
Make it easy. The Kia Sedona minivan's been recalled over some faulty wiring that may not detect a child or a child seat in the front passenger seat. I don't really like the idea of putting a child seat or a child in a front passenger seat, but people do it. NHTSA released documents last week that indicate the fault only affects 2015 Sedonas with manually adjustable passenger seat. The occupant detection system wiring harness may break down over time from passengers sitting in the seat. Hard to believe a seat would wear out from sitting in it. That's what they made for. But eventually the degradation means the system may not recognize a child or a child seat, and which could keep the airbag from deploying in the event of a crash, or just the opposite. It would deploy when it's not supposed to. Kia said the recall affects 2015 to 2018 Sedona models. It's about 100,000 vehicles. Owners will bring their Sedona in, and they'll check the occupant detection system, and the technician will remove a harness clip between the system and the mat sensor to keep the wires from bending. However, the technician, if they find damage, they'll receive a new front passenger seat cushion, and new seat cushion will protect the system from damage. Kia will also reimburse owners who have had the repairs done prior. Owners will begin receiving notifications in about a week or so. A small number of brand new Lincoln Nautilus models have been recalled to remedy the driver assistance system that won't remind drivers to keep their hands on the wheel. That's an interesting one. Yes. Well, the Lincoln Nautilus has a self-driving feature, and what happens is if it doesn't detect your hands on the wheel, you take your hands off the wheel and let it drive itself for a little bit, a little warning comes up that says, hey, knucklehead, grab a hold of the wheel. Okay. We don't really drive ourselves. And apparently on this Nautilus, the thing that recognizes pressure on the steering wheel may not receive a programmed alert, so the driver may not receive the programmed alert that says, hold on to the steering wheel.
Okay.
Do you really need to remind people to do that? Do you really?
Well, if they get into that autopilot mode,
I suppose.
You know how it is. People tend to drift off when they're bored, and beep, beep, beep comes on.
Yeah, exactly. No active safety system on the market allows for true hands-free driving at all times when behind the wheel. The closest systems right now are the Tesla Autopilot and Cadillac Super Cruise. Both are intended for highway driving only, but that is not the case. People use them anyway. Ford said the Nautilus system features a mass offset inertia and upstreaming steering friction that could provide too much torque, which the active system may not interpret as hands on the wheel, or may interpret as hands on the wheel. The remedy is a simple one for the affected Lincoln owners. However, owners will take their vehicle to the dealer and have the power system control module updated with new software. That's how we fix cars today. We don't fix them with nuts and bolts. Well, we do, but we also fix them with a lot of software. Any owner that's had the work done, of course, will be reimbursed. Nobody has had it done, trust me. So kind of an interesting little tidbit about almost self-driving cars. The Nissan Leaf has been updated, and it's going to get more range than ever. It's the Leaf was one of the first electric cars that really seemed to do a really good job. I remember when it was introduced, they said it would go 100 miles an hour, it would drive 100 miles, and you could do it with five people in it. And I actually
quoted that. And then what ended up happening was they said, well, that isn't exactly how it works. It can't do all three things at the same time. So you're not going 100 miles and 100 miles an hour with five people in the car. You can put five people in it. You can go 100 miles an hour. And you could go 100 miles, but not all three at the same time. Since launching the first mainstream electric vehicle, and this comes from Automotive News, Nissan has been outgunned by faster, more powerful competitors that travel farther on a full charge. Now it's even responding to a wave of modern EVs. The new Leaf Plus, which is expected to have a range of 226 miles, enables the grandfather of affordable EVs to keep up with the Chevrolet Bolt, the Hyundai Kona, which is 258 miles, and Tesla's base Model 3, which I'm starting to see some Model 3s, including the dual motor, the all-wheel drive version, starting around. Research shows that 200 miles is the threshold for comfort for those who are considering switching to an EV. I kind of got beat up in the Boston Globe last week when someone asked about an electric vehicle, and I said, right now, with few exceptions, a hybrid or a plug-in hybrid might be the way to go. And my thought was, because you always have a gas station nearby. You don't always have a charging station. And if you have a car that only has a shorter range, like 100 or 120 miles, it can get inconvenient depending on the kind of driving you do. Some people said I did the electric car industry a disservice by saying that. I should go out and drive the Chevrolet Bolt and the Tesla Model 3. I would if I could, but I can't because they won't lend me one. Chevrolet did not want to lend me a Chevrolet Bolt, and Tesla doesn't give cars to anybody. So, I won't go to a car dealer to try to get a road test car. I just don't think it's fair to the dealer. I worry about liability as well. And you know why? If I go to a dealer, the concern is I'll go to a dealer and then another dealer might want me to do the same thing. Hello. Hey, look. It's somebody I know.
Hey, let's look see. On the radio. Okay.
happy St. Patrick's Day parade, Doctor.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Captain Keith. You're here. You're here for the parade.
And I'm here to see you.
You're here to see me?
Yes.
How exciting.
I'm one of your biggest fans.
Really?
Yes.
That's scary. Yeah, you're my only fan. Yeah.
Hey, I'm here for you.
There you go. Joanne's sitting right over there.
Oh, go see her.
There, go see her. All right. Thanks, Keith.
You're welcome.
Friend I met on Cape Cod a few years ago, and good to see him come in. Yes, it is on the radio. It's hard to see people on the radio, and people don't know that. I mentioned this Bugatti. The article that I cut out of the paper says, when it comes to conspicuous consumption, Bugatti's always a leader of the pack at the Geneva Auto Show. This year is marking 110 years of operation with a special edition 110 Bugatti based on the sport version of the segment-busting hypercar. About 20 are expected to be built, but Bugatti won't stop there. Rumor has it in the supercar blog, it says that they are going to build this one, and they did. They built one crazy version for $18 million. In case you're interested, it's powered by a W16 engine, so a 16-valve engine. You won't be able to buy one, even if you have $20 million to spare, because it's already been sold. So, interesting. And I mentioned this last week, and we never really talked about it. Subaru finally came at the top of the list of reliability. Of course, over its 51 years in the United States, Subaru is known for some shrewd product moves, wacky if not memorable advertising, and a sales streak that defies gravity, but it's never been able to claim being tops in reliability until now. Subaru narrowly edged out Genesis in the number one finish in the 2019 Consumer Reports ranking of most reliable automotive brands. Last week's release of the annual study marked the first time Subaru, by its own admission, has led either of the well-known scorecards from J.D. Power or Consumer Reports, and adds yet another star to the brand that set U.S. sales records in the past 10 years. Subaru has been on a roll lately with some all-new redesigned models. According to Jake Fisher, Senior Director of Automotive Testing at the magazine, it's usually the case when the brand makes significant changes to the vehicle or introduces new ones, their reliability suffers. They slide down in our brand ranking. But
Those at the top are clearly figuring out how to buck that trend. So the list is, according to Consumer Reports, analyzes its test survey and compiles its brand report card. And the overall number one is Subaru, followed by Genesis, which is the Hyundai model, oddly followed by Porsche, then Audi and Lexus. Audi reliability in the last few years has really gotten better. Previously, though, Audi cars, once they started to get a few miles on them, they could be a problem. Then Lexus, Mazda, BMW, Lincoln, Toyota, Hyundai, Volkswagen, Kia, Honda. Isn't it amazing that Honda's number 13, one of the most reliable cars on the planet, and Toyota, number 9, one of the most reliable cars on the planet. And then Mini, in my opinion, one of the most unreliable cars on the planet, is number 15, ahead of Acura and ahead of Mercedes. Tesla, number 19. And at the bottom of the list, at the very bottom of the list, Fiat. So Land Rover, Jaguar, Fiat kind of roll it out at the bottom of the list. Even Alfa Romeo is ahead of Jeep and Mitsubishi. And it used to be Jeep was always kind of a questionable one because it did well and then it didn't. Oh, we have to do a little live thing here with Keith. So there we go, a little selfie. Good. Good to do. Send that down to our friend Bob Elliott.
So, John.
Yes, sir.
Just because I'm being a little selfish here and we're looking for vehicles, you said Mazda was on the list. What position was Mazda again? Was that like
Mazda,
five?
Mazda was number six.
Six. Good.
I see you guys in a Mazda CX-5.
That's what she wants.
Yeah. I think it would fit you.
Yes.
It would fit your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would work out good for you.
All right, good to know. Hey,
yeah.
Also, did you see the new Ford Ranger?
I saw the commercials for it.
It's
pretty nice looking.
Sort of. It looks like they took a Ford Escape.
Yep.
And they added they kind of cut off the back, but added a bed that's a little longer than the normal back.
Yeah, it's sort of a, I've been told, and I don't know this officially, but I've been told it isn't really that new. It's really a Australian Ford.
Okay.
So
I can see that.
Where the Australians have a lot of Utes, they mm-hmm. call them.
Yep.
And it's really a version of that vehicle that they kind of Americanized, I guess, to try to make it work. So,
say it kind of looks like, I don't know why they just didn't make it an El Camino, because if they just made it a two-seater, it's an El Camino.
Well, and, you know, technically it'd be a Ranchero then.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. But it's kind of interesting that the only one who's really, now GM has showed a couple of concepts that were supposed to be like a El Camino. I think there's a real market for those. You know, they're not going to sell a million of them, but I think they're going to sell a lot. And the company that actually has come out with something and has shown it at the auto show a couple times is Hyundai. And it's sort of Hyundai's version of an El Camino. And I think it would be a pretty hot little car. And but they've yet to actually do anything with it. So time will tell what happens with it. So, yeah, no, it is. I think it would work. In fact, in a couple of weeks, we're going to try to have somebody on from Ford to talk about the new Ranchero, because I'm sort of interested in it too. I want to see what it's like, and I haven't driven it yet. And it's kind of funny. 2 years ago, I think I went to the New York Auto Show. 3 years ago, went to the New York Auto Show, and all the news was about how they were introducing the new Bronco and the new Ranchero. And all they really did was introduce the name. It wasn't even drawing. It was just a picture of the name, which was kind of funny. So, yeah. Why don't we take another break? When we come back, we're going to talk about, according to Hagerty.com, so Hagerty, the insurance, classic car insurance company, they have listed, says, scoop up 8 cars before they take off. And I have a couple of opinions on these. My name is John.
program. Our phone lines are open at 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. We are broadcasting live from Captain Parker's Pub in Yarmouth, right on Route 28, right near, well, the St. Patrick's Day Parade is going to go by here in a little bit. The Irish Festival is across the street at Crow's Purchase, so it's going to be a great time. It's already, the bar is jammed in here. The rest of the restaurant's filling up nicely, and you can even sit outside today if you want, because it's a beautiful day on Cape Cod, sunny day, and I'm sure everybody's out doing things today, because tomorrow the weather doesn't look so great. But today's a beautiful day, especially a beautiful day to be here. Matt O'Donnell's here already. He's getting ready to do his thing at 10 o'clock with Professor Paul Sullivan in the studio. And then later, of course, this afternoon, it'll be a great time. Bobby Brooks and Bill Bailey with the Bailey Cayley. And, of course, tomorrow, Johnny Costello will be in the studio. But today, we might see a Johnny Costello sighting here at Captain Parker's. That's always exciting. But right now, let's take that break, pay some bills. My name is John Paul. This is the Car Doctor program. You're listening on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Car Doctor program. Who's that band? That band's the Sonomatics. Our buddy Craig Fitzgerald and his band. Craig is sort of my boss at Best Ride. You can read all the stuff at Best Ride. If you're a Subaru owner and you get the Subaru magazine in the mail, he's also the editor of that. He's also does some freelance writing here and there around. He used to be the sports car editor for Hemmings Motor News. And when he lived up in Vermont, he moved back this way and went to work for Best Ride and does all of their content, or the majority of their content. Always a good time whenever we're with Craig. And Craig's one of the few people I trust to fill in for me on the rare occasion I can't make it to the studio because I'm on an airplane somewhere or foreign country. It makes me sound like I'm, I don't know. I don't know what it makes me sound like. Man of mystery.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Exactly. So.
So important in this world.
Not at all. So eight cars, according to Haggerty, eight cars you should scoop up before they get too expensive. And it says here, as much as we'd like to have the power to predict the future, we can't. Before the air-cooled 911 and E30 BMW M3s went berserk in value, there were signs, but no one could say for certain what could happen. That's the case with everything in life. Our best course of action, however, is to rely on data that indicates the most likely occur down the road. Nobody likes the feeling of missing the boat. With the right information, insurance quote data, and frequency in which cars are added to policies, auction activities, and more, we can start to paint a picture of cars that will go up in value. The 85 to 89 Ferrari 328 GTB and GTS. If you still love the 80s Ferrari look, yeah, you know, think Magnum PI. A bit more performance than the 308 without spending the big Testarossa money. The 328's a happy medium. The cars essentially doubled in value in the early 2000s, but still they claim they can be affordable. Not really affordable in my mind, but the problem is to get one serviced, you're going to spend half the cost of the car. Not exactly a good investment. The Ferrari F355 Spider, you can buy one in good condition for about the price of a big SUV. Kind of the same problem, though. It can get really expensive. A little bit cheaper car, a lot cheaper car, a 1992 Alfa Romeo Spider, real pretty car, real classic Italian lines. North American's Miata from the early 90s are increasing quickly in value, but the Alfas are prettier, heavier than their cousins, the very low mileage. And Miatas get expensive. I don't think they get that expensive. It's not a stretch to consider an Alfa instead. They're stylish roadsters, classic looks. Young buyers don't seem to love the Spider S4, with 74% of the quotes coming from boomers and pre-boomers over the last 12 months. Spiders are being added to insurance policies at increasing rate. Again, a real pretty car. If you're looking for something a little bit different, 68 to 71 Mercury Cyclone, they've seen an 85% rise in cyclones added to insurance policies in the past 12 months. Based on the Torino, the non-GT Cyclone with the 429 Super Cobra Jet engine is the second cheapest Super Cobra Jet you can buy. The 1970-based Ford Falcon is the cheapest. That would be an interesting car. Ford Falcon with a 429 Super Cobra Jet in. Affordable horsepower does not go out of kind of out of market, especially in a market where main growth in lower sectors. 49 to 67 Volkswagen Beetle. They made a billion of them. Well, a little exaggeration, but certainly millions of them. And due to their longtime popularity, Beetle's not likely to see a large increase in value, but you can get kind of a nice one that's really done up nicely and pretty dependable overall. 68 to 72 Olds Cutlass. In the article here, they showed a picture of an Olds Cutlass convertible. They're showing it in good condition for $12,800. The Cutlass and the Chevelle are essentially the same car, but the Cutlass has generally lagged 10% behind the Chevelle in median value. The Chevelle tends to be a really popular car, but I kind of like the Cutlass. I think it offers a little bit more. It's not a 442. It's not the high-performance version, but it is kind of an interesting car and fun. Hello! But it is kind of interesting and fun to be around, so... look for one of those. And finally, they roll out with the 2005 to 2008 Dodge Magnum. And that's kind of an interesting choice because you can buy these cars for about $9,000. And they're actually pretty cool looking. They're a full-size family hauler, rear-wheel drive, available all-wheel drive. You can get up to 425 horsepower in them. And people are putting hotter engines in them all the time. I saw one advertised that had a Hellcat engine in it. Pretty interesting vehicle. And you can buy a pretty, pretty good shot at buying it right. So nice car. And they had one more. They had the Volkswagen Golf from 83 to 92. Not quite sure how that ended up on the list, but it's affordable, fun, it's reliable. There's a lot of people who are buying them. And if you buy them in the southern states, they're not rusty, so they're a pretty good choice. There is literally a line getting into the hostess station now. So it's a busy place here at Captain Parker's. Our phone number is 617-770-3030. 617-770-3030 is how you get through. Talk to us about your car problems, whatever's on your mind. You can figure it all out. Maybe here. Maybe we can help you with some of those problems. Gas Buddy reveals consumers can't break money-wasting habits when it comes to buying gas, costing them an extra almost $400 a year. According to this from Gas Buddy, it says, old habits dry hard, in this case costly too. Gas Buddy, which is a smartphone app that connects drivers with the perfect lowest price gas station, issued a 2019 pump habit study, and it said... more than one-third, 35% of those surveyed have run out of gas. Most people, 39%, wait until they only have a quarter of a tank of gas left, while 18% wait until the gas light comes on. Not a good idea because you're going to end up killing your fuel pump if you do that. But if you're waiting until the last second to get gas, chances are you're going to pull into the first station you find, and it could be the most expensive station you find. So, look at that. Nearly 80% of respondents have a gas station they regularly go to when choosing regular station. 31% they go because it's convenient, up to 7%. So going to the same station because it's convenient, you could be paying more for gas. Sometimes, 15, 20, 30 cents more per gallon. I go to a convenient gas station, but it tends to be one of the cheaper ones, and it's Citgo, and it's Citgo, why I like going to Citgo. And I go to Citgo and BP for a couple reasons, because they're top-tier fuel, and they're sold pretty reasonably. And although I always thought gas was gas, I found out because we did a bunch of testing at the AAA engineering site that there is a difference in gas. There is a difference in the kind and quality of gasoline. So even though you might be buying a name brand of gasoline, it may not be the best gasoline for your car. It may not be the cleanest
operating gasoline for your car.
What about Stop and Shop?
Stop and Shop, which Dennis asked about. What about them? Stop and Shop is fairly cheap, but they buy off the mercantile exchange. They buy any kind of gas that's available, and they do not buy top-tier gasoline. Either does BJ's, for that matter. So, you know, the name brands typically do, Mobil, Shell, and so forth, not Texaco, which we don't see a whole lot of. But the good thing is, if you supplement where you get your gas with top-tier fuel, it does have a cleaning effect, and it will actually make your car a little bit cleaner than it was before. So if you go out and you you buy gas from Stop and Shop all the time, or you buy gas from BJ's all the time, or you buy gas from Joe's Gas, or whatever the case is, I do go to a place near my house that is fairly inexpensive, and I go there because it's on the right side of the road when I'm coming home sometimes, so I end up going there. It is not top-tier fuel, but I make a point to try to get top-tier fuel a couple times. You know, probably every third fill-up if I make it a point to actually do it. So we do it that way. So you can save a little time. Hey, look, it's Johnny Costello. I don't know what he's doing. He looks all nervous. I don't know. He's scaring me a little bit. I don't know. He's got all kinds of stuff, he says. So I don't know what that means exactly, but he's got all kinds of stuff. So
can I ask a question?
Yokohama. Go ahead.
Can I ask a question about leasing?
Sure.
So I'm coming up on the 2-year mark on my lease right now. And
yep.
So I'm expecting the calls to start coming in about 6 months or so, 7 months, saying,
yep,
hey, your lease is almost up. Do you want to trade in early and do all this stuff? So it's a two-tiered question. One, should I trade in early if they offer it to me? And two, there's a couple of dings and stuff on my lease. One's like a big streak, looks like a car, like kind of sort of sideswiped me just a little bit.
Okay.
Should I get that repaired?
I would get the more major work done and repaired just because it makes sense to do it. The little dings I wouldn't worry quite so much about. But if it looks like it's a little bit bigger than that, unless they give you some great deal to get out of your lease early and they kind of forgive the other problems, but that's going to require a little bit more negotiation.
Okay.
So it may work out for you, but chances are they're going to say to you, no, we need to... You need to get that stuff taken care of. And the sideswipe, is that something that was just sort of a hit-and-run sort of thing, you think?
Yeah, it was more I took the turn out of my driveway a little tight and ran it up against the fence.
Ah, so it wasn't really a hit-and-run. It was you.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have to pay your deductible, whatever it is.
Yeah.
$500 or $1,000 or whatever your deductible is.
I mean,
it's
a little streak and a little dent.
You know, at that point, I have them take a look at it and see what they think, but you may find out that what they're going to charge you, because that's more than normal wear and tear,
okay,
it might be worth actually getting it taken care of.
Okay. All right.
So, all right. That was one tier. Was that one tier or two?
Well, the other thing was about getting out early. You said if they offer a great deal.
Yeah, that's just, you know, I work with a couple of people who lease cars, and they've offered to get them out early in a couple of times, and as they've done that, they've made it really worthwhile for them to you know, really take advantage of, you know, what the best deal out. Most of the time, they've upgraded to a little bit nicer vehicle, which is one of the reasons. So, yeah, it's worked out good for everybody who's done that. So, yeah.
All right. I don't want to give up my Star Wars car and all, but there are some things that I'm like, I'd rather have this, and this than just having a Star Wars thing on it.
Well, you can always get a new car and put your Darth Vader helmet in.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you'll feel the same.
Yes.
So it'll be just like you had the same car. So, yeah, there's It is getting a little tighter in here all the time, getting a little more crowded in here all the time, and which is great to see down here at Captain Parker's. So always a fun thing. Oh, and before I forget, a former coworker of mine, Judy Ravan, it's her birthday today. So if you happen to see Judy Ravan, who worked for AAA for a really long time, I think 50 years, and if you happen to see her, wish her a happy birthday. Yokohama Tire has been named as a presenting sponsor on something called Fuel Fest. It's an automotive festival that's going to be held at Angel Stadium in Anaheim, California. Fuel Fest is hosted by co-founder Cody Walker and Fast and Furious star Tyrese Gibson. It will be held in memory of actor Paul Walker and will benefit the charity Reach Out Worldwide. The event will feature music, cars, food, celebrities, and creating Fuel Fest. I knew I wanted to create more than just a static car show. I wanted to create an automotive festival that brings together cars, music, motorsports, and the ability for enthusiasts to meet their favorite on-screen celebrities, said Walker. We're happy to have Yokohama sponsoring Fuel Fest. Yokohama was the title sponsor for Reach Out Worldwide in memory of Paul's car show last year. It was great to see the continued support. We're continuing to partner with Cody for and support Fuel Fest, according to Yokohama's Senior Director of Consumer Product Planning. Interesting event. You can find out everything about it at, go check out Yokohama's website, and you can find out more information about it. Some of the other things in the news, General Motors is contemplating investing, and I believe they already did, in startup pickup truck, electric pickup truck maker Rivian. It's troubling, according to this little thing here, it says it's troubling for a multitude of reasons, and it has nothing to do with the quality engineering of Rivian's slick-looking battery-powered truck. First is the optics of the situation, GM's closing plants when it's solidly profitable. If GM is so concerned about the future, how can it invest tens of millions of dollars or more in an unknown product? Amazon will lead the investment with $700 million. GM CEO Mary Barra had nothing new to say about the automaker's potential investment. What else is going on? The electric pickup truck's a risky gamble. This is an expensive truck, too. What we do know about the duty cycle of most pickups is that they are often used for work, towing trailers, hauling with beds full of heavy cargo. This is a piece written in Automotive News. I don't know that that's completely the case, because I think most pickup trucks don't get used for anything other than just driving around, but... yeah, we'll see who's the smart one in there. Just to see how it all shakes out in the end. So it's just one of those, again, one more of those things that just kind of makes it interesting and kind of makes this sort of the golden age of the automobile. In a lot of cases, I really feel that it kind of is, because you have so many choices right now in kinds of cars you can buy with, is it a plug-in, is it electric, all kinds of different stuff. And you can find out, you can have more choices, I think, now than you've ever been able to do. I got an email from one of our listeners, and it talks about, do you need to go to your dealer for work? And it says it's a copy of auto warranties and routine maintenance. And it says, if you own a car and you know how important it is to keep up with routine maintenance and repairs, but can a dealer refuse to honor the warranty that came with your new car if someone else does routine maintenance? The Federal Trade Commission, the nation's consumer protection agency, says no. In fact, it's illegal for a dealer to deny your warranty coverage simply because you had routine maintenance or repairs performed by someone else. Routine maintenance also often includes oil changes, tire rotations, belt replacements, fluid checks and flushes, new brake pads, etc. Maintenance schedules vary by make, model, and manufacturer. The best source of information comes from your owner's manual. What is a warranty? Do I have to use a dealer? So forth. What's a warranty? A warranty is a promise often made by the manufacturer to stand behind their product. Do I have to use the dealer for repairs or maintenance? No. An independent mechanic, retail chain shop, or even a do-it-yourselfer can do all the routine maintenance. In fact, the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, which is enforced by the Federal Trade Commission, makes it illegal for manufacturers or dealers to claim that your warranty is void or to deny coverage under the warranty simply because someone other than the dealer did the work. The manufacturer or dealer can, however, require consumers to use selected repair facilities if the repair services are provided free of charge under warranty. That said, there may be a certain situation where repair is not covered. For example, if you and your mechanic replaced a belt improperly and the engine was damaged, yeah, you would be responsible for that. But for the most part, no. So, you can do your own. You can do your own repairs. You can. That's going to take care of your warranty. So it's important information to know. And thanks for one of our listeners for doing that. Speaking of thanking people, I want to thank our buddy Joe Ligotti, who has me on Wednesdays at 5:15, where we chat about cars in the segment called Burning Rubber. If you've missed those segments, it's a non-political, non-politics kind of show, and it's really all about what's on his mind about cars. He's kind of a car guy, drives a big old Cadillac Escalade, which I saw Joe just as I was picking up all the stuff to do the remote, and it was good just checking everything out and checking what was going on with Joe, and it's a good thing. Dennis mentioned the Ford Ranger, the 2020 Ranger, only began to reach dealership lots last month, but the automaker said Wednesday it's going to recall some of them already. 3,500 of them, Ford said, there's a potential for drivers to shift the truck's gear lever out of park while the car is off without a foot on the brake. The automaker said it needs to verify the shifter interlock functionality on or about 3,500 trucks, 3,000 in the U.S., 500 in Canada. The affected cars with the transmission lever bezel wiring may interfere with the shifter override function. Again, most new cars have some sort of a shifter interlock that keeps you from taking the car out of park and putting it into drive or neutral, whatever the case is, like the olden days. So we have to have people teach us how to not get in trouble. So that's kind of how it works. Ford said the affected Rangers were between June of 2018 and January 9th. So if you bought one of these, which I haven't seen any yet, but if you bought one of these, you might need to do something about it. Why don't we take another break? We are broadcasting live from Captain Parker's here on Route 28 in Yarmouth, where it is busy, busy, busy. And the boys are all here setting up, getting ready for their show. So why don't we take that break? My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor Program. You're listening on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. We'll be right back.
But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step.
I was taking a trip out to L.A., tooling along in my Chevrolet, talking on a number and digging on the radio. Just as I crossed the Mississippi line, I heard that highway start to whine. I knew that left rear tire was about to go.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. Our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through. And give us a call. In fact, let's see if the phones work. Let's talk to Tom. Tom, good morning, and welcome to the Car Doctor Program.
Thanks, John. Hey, thanks for the tickets to the car show.
Sure.
You're talking about the maintenance on cars, doing it yourself, and the warranty and all that. Some question everybody does, if they change their own oil, the light on the dash, most modern cars, the check engine light won't come on if the oil needs to be changed. It's a separate light, right?
Right, yeah. It's an oil maintenance light usually. It's one of those things that, depending on the car, it'll have a reminder. Some are really easy to reset. I'm driving a Ford right now. You just go into the menu and you hit reset. The button's easy. My wife's Volkswagen is a pain in the butt to do because it has both a mileage reminder and a date reminder.
And it's actually really easy to do it with the Volkswagen tool. Really hard to do it without it. And it is a little, and it is a little bit annoying to do it. So each car is a little bit different. Again, some are easy, some are not. But it doesn't tie into the check engine light. It might tie into a service soon light that might come on, just sort of a yellow light that says it's time to do some service.
Okay, a friend of mine is a Buick. I don't know. I'm going to check into it and see how difficult that is to reset. If you don't,
it's a deal, right? Yeah. The GM ones are really easy to do. But we were talking to somebody not that long ago. They couldn't figure out how to reset theirs. They went to the dealer, and they did their own oil change, and the dealer charged them $50 to reset the light.
Oh my God! No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, John, is it absolutely necessary to do that to reset it? I mean, the oil is in there.
Yeah, you would think, when you go in for service, they should reset it as part of the normal routine. They sometimes don't remember to do it.
But if you're doing it, change your own oil. Yeah, is it necessary to reset it?
Other than you get really annoyed by the light, but no, it's not necessary.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not. Okay. No, it's not necessary at all because the light is tied depending on. For instance, the GM cars are solely tied into how much the vehicle is driven. Some other cars actually use a sensor in the oil pan that measures like moisture contamination. But will it affect? You can drive with the service oil light on, for the next million miles. It won't make any difference whatsoever.
Yeah,
so,
like you say, it would be annoying. It would be annoying. The check engine light, which he has, a friend of mine has it on now, so that can be anything. Anyone would need.
Check engine light, different story. Check engine light could be as simple as, you got gas with the engine running one day, the gas cap was loose, something like that. Or it could be more complicated. It could be something like one of the sensors is going bad, or an oxygen sensor is getting tired. Depending on the car, it could have some of those emissions components could be warrantied for 8 years or 80,000 miles.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, John.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye now. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is our phone number if you want to join us. Of course, we only have a little bit of time left, but still, if you'd like to join us. The Infiniti QX50 is a compact luxury SUV that comes in three trim levels, Pure, Luxe, and Essential, with all-wheel drive as an option. All models are powered by the same 2-liter turbocharged four-cylinder engine. I was driving the nicely equipped Luxe version with only front-wheel drive. So on that snowstorm day, I left it home. And it worked pretty well. I actually did take it out, but I figured my commute, which is 50 miles, I would much rather do it in an all-wheel drive if I have the option as opposed to a front-wheel drive. So I decided to leave it home that day. The interior of the QX50 is nicely appointed with soft-touch materials throughout. Previous model year Infiniti SUVs were criticized for a lack of luxury, and that's certainly not the case in this completely updated model. The front seats are very comfortable, although the seating area feels a little bit more cozy than other vehicles in its class. The instrument panel and controls are straightforward, although I'd like to see an actual tuning knob for the radio. I get so annoyed by that. It actually had a volume knob, which was nice, but if you want to change the radio station, you actually have to go in and push a little button back and forth rather than just spin a knob, so kind of annoying that way. Also, it uses two screens, a double screen, one on top of the other. Seems a little bit outdated. If you want a bigger screen, put a big screen in and not have two. The double screen also just looked confusing and somewhat distracting. The shifter is also a toggle style, which does take a little getting used to, and the park button is oddly situated in the console. So it has a toggle style shifter, so you just kind of jiggle it back and forth, drive, reverse, whatever. And you think you're used to putting a car in park by moving the shifter all the way up. When you move the shifter all the way up, all you're really doing is putting it into reverse, kind of weird. And also, if you want to put it in park, the park button actually sits behind the shifter. So again, it's a little bit odd, just weird. Rotary style seems to work a little bit better than this, but again, it's one of those things. The rear seating is comfortable, although taller passengers will be looking for a bit more headroom. Three adults will feel somewhat cramped. Three kids will have plenty of room. Our model had a large sunroof, which helped add to the open-air feel, also took away a little bit of that rear seat headroom. There's a decent amount of cargo space behind the rear seat that grows to a little more than 61 cubic feet of cargo space with the seat folded. The turbocharged 268 horsepower, four-cylinder engines, not as powerful as some of the competitors, but certainly more than adequate. And the trade-off is good fuel economy. When pushed hard, the engine does sound a little bit coarse, due in part to the CVT transmission. The other issue is the turbocharged engine needs premium fuel. So you're buying a luxury car, but it's still annoying to have to pay 20 or 30 cents more per gallon for gas. The onboard computer system indicated an average of 26 miles per gallon, which is pretty good, but not great, but pretty good. You know, you got to call it pretty good. The overall handling is good with a minimum amount of body roll. The suspension setup is tuned to comfort rather than sharp handling, and I'm sure most buyers would prefer that. Safety is addressed with a combination of advanced driver assistance system that uses a variety of technology. Notable are forward collision braking, pedestrian detection, predictive forward collision warning, as well as blind spot warning. The Infiniti QX50 has been completely redesigned. It is much better than its predecessors, but it may not be good enough. The latest model is ultra quiet, unless you jam on the gas pedal, then it does sound a little bit noisy, but out on the highway, very quiet, really stylish. But other models in the segment handle a little bit better, have a little bit more power, and get better fuel economy. Base price, $36,550. EPA says 24 city, 31 highway. The best I did was about 26 overall, and it has not been crash tested yet. They didn't want to break one, so they didn't crash test one. 617-770-3030 is our phone number. We are got a few minutes left if you would like to join us and chat a little bit about what you have on your mind about cars and car problems. Today was a cold day. This was a cold week, rather. This did test out some batteries again. People with battery problems. Wow. Look, it's Matt O'Donnell yelling and screaming here. I don't know if you can hear that, but... Hey, Matt, if you're going to do that, do it on the air, too, will you?
All right, we're going to do this on the air, too. Everybody, a big cheer for Captain Parker's on Parade Weekend. All right, we're going to give away this T-shirt right now. We've already given one away in the back dining room. It is going to be a very tough question, a musical question, of course. And it will go to the person who answers either the loudest and correctly. Here we go. Pete St. John wrote a fantastic song. Patty Riley does a great version of it. A lot of people do. Finish this sentence. Low lie the fields of Athen Rye. There you go. I won't throw it. I don't want to wipe out all those beverages there, but we'll get the stage. Johnny bringing it up. Yes, the fields of Athen Rye. Thank you all so much for coming out to Captain Parker's. The parade's going to be coming by starting in just about an hour. Thank you for coming out. Have a blast here at Captain Parker's. Try the chowder. And, of course, try the special Captain Parker's Bloody Mary. It is spicy and it is delicious. Thank you, and have a great St. Patrick's Day here at Captain Parker's Pub. Thank you, John Ball.
Well, you know, if they're gonna be yelling behind me, they might as well do it on the air, right? That only makes sense because that is the kind of level of enthusiasm that's here at Captain Parker's today. It is a great day here at Captain Parker's. A lot of fun. Our buddy Paul Sullivan's in the studio, Paul.
Hey, sounds like a lot of fun down there.
There is. There's all kinds of people here. You're missing out on it, but Johnny Costello's here, and his kids are here, right?
That's good. I mean, it's always a harbinger of spring when St. Patrick's rolls along, and they do it a little bit earlier down the Cape, and they've been doing it, 10 or 11 years now, and it's a great day for all the folks who have to go down and check on the summer place or just want to go to the Cape for a day.
Yeah.
The weather is, you know, you and I have seen a lot worse than this on the Cape Cod St. Patrick's Day Parade day.
No, we really have. I remember being down here with some friends, and they were dressed like they were going to go snowmobiling. And today there's plenty of people walking around with shorts today.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people dressed in winter clothes. But, yeah, it was when Jerry Manning was he popped by first thing, and we were talking about the parade, and he said the table right next to where we were standing is where they actually formulated the idea for the parade. And he also gave us a little bit of history about Captain Parker's Pub and how he was a school teacher who wanted to do something for the summertime and started this little pub didn't even have heat at the time.
Yep.
And then he got laid off. So he figured he needed something to do. So the something to do was we might as well run this restaurant year round.
Well, it's a landmark on the Cape. Everybody knows where Captain Pock is, and you go there for the chowder, of course, but for much, much more. I think the menu there is severely underrated because you can get a really nice meal there, no matter what your taste is, and the friendly atmosphere it reeks of Cape Cod, and that's a high compliment.
It does. It's you know, from the wood interior to the ceilings to all of the it's one of those pubs that has all of the police and fire insignias all around the inside.
Yep.
Of it. You know, it's Cape Cod. It's island-like. They have been voted the best clam chowder in Massachusetts, of course. And nobody says Captain Pock is chowder better than Bill Bailey.
That's right. Yep. Well, I do. Well, I'll give it a shot. Captain Pock is chowder.
Nah, he does it. He's got a little bit more edge to him, I think.
Yeah,
so,
maybe.
Yeah. Hey, but I got to tell you, it's pretty good. It's pretty good chowder.
Hey, really did you stay in the second of your three homes last night?
I did, actually. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Where we're leaving? Yeah, shortly in a little while, because my wife and her sister are going down to the third home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a time of year to do that.
So they're taking 4 days off and going down to the tin shack in Florida. So so they're going to they're going down to hang out down there.
The temperature right now is a balmy 77 degrees.
I'm sure it's at least that.
Yeah.
At least that. But it feels, you know, standing in the window here at Captain Parker's, watching everybody get ready for the parade. The police just took a run by to kind of clear the roadway, and there's all kinds of people standing outside getting ready. I mean, the parade's not for another hour or so, but you know, you would think it was a kind of a summer day out there. People have their folding chairs out, their blankets out. There's kids sitting on the ground and on their blankets. There's the vendors selling all kinds of stuff that you want today and probably not want it tomorrow, but you buy it today anyway because you want it for the parade. And across the street, it looks like they're getting ready to set up for the festival, the music festival this afternoon. So it's going to be a great day.
Now,
it's going to be a great day on Cape Cod.
Riddle me this, because I'm looking out the window up here in Quincy, and we have a fair amount of snow piled up and snow on the ground. What's it like down there with a different climate down there?
Well, there is a little bit of snow around the bushes, mostly brown grass. But the only snow is in the shadows. So there's no snow. There's really no snow on the sidewalks. There's no snow in the parking lot. The only snow is just under some bushes. Even in the island out in front of Captain Parker's at the sign, there's a few little pieces of snow, but nothing at all. It feels like a spring day with just a little bit of snow left kicking around. Not enough snow even to make a snowball.
Well, your underpaid piano guy is pounding the ivories in the background, so that only means one thing.
I think that means I have to go, but just so everybody knows, according to the weather service, it's 39 degrees and sunny in Dennisport.
There you go. Hey, John, I'll see you next week.
Beautiful. All right, take care. Hey, coming up next, Paul Sullivan and the Irish Hit Parade, and the Boyos are here. They're going to be broadcasting live from Captain Parker's. They're going to be down at the other end of the parade. Johnny has a whole contingent of people with him. But we'll see you all next week. Until next week, happy St. Patrick's Day. wear your seatbelt, drive safely, and be good to your car. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Double R.